Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished the Breaking It Down podcast with Ed Vosburgh, played 10 years in the big leagues, and now we started out with a good friend of mine, Zach Manassian, the vice president of pro scouting with the San Francisco Giants. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing and coming to you live in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. It goes by quick, 30 minutes. Catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms. Or you can subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. More him, less of me. Let me lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Zach, I appreciate taking your time out of breakfast, a Denver omelet maybe, country potatoes, a little sourdough toast to talk with me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Mark. It's my pleasure.
Well, I don't even know where to start. I mean, fourth year now with the San Francisco Giants, 14 seasons in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. Man, oh, man, I mean, you could take us through when you first started and I guess the days of the hot sun down there in Texas.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. My father got a job running the clubhouse in Texas, and originally on the visiting side, and I was after the 88 season, and so for all the years in Milwaukee, and as I start to pile up more years here in San Francisco, still the majority of my time in baseball was with the Rangers, and it was pretty fortunate for myself. I have three older brothers. We were in that clubhouse daily, and my dad was pretty adamant, if you're going to be in here, you're going to be working. So there was myself at, I was five, we're all about 2 years apart, my three brothers, we were all working. So, you know, there was six-year-old Zach cleaning shoes and picking up dirty clothes and hanging out in the clubhouse. And, you know, it was just such a fantastic experience, very fortunate, myself, my brothers, and feel like it built a nice foundation for us to learn the game, but probably even more importantly, just have a deep love for the game, and it's repaid all of us so much.
Well, and that experience, man, is going to be second to none. Visiting clubhouse, seeing these teams come through, talking to these players, absorbing it like a sponge, using it to your advantage as you climb the corporate ladder, that had to be amazing in more ways, like I said, than anything.
Yeah, and it was, I can remember, you know, you're on the visiting side, and one thing after a loss, that clubhouse is pretty much silent. And, you know,
right,
to be 7, 8 years old, you know, I'm surprised that, thinking back now, that my dad actually allowed me in there even after a loss, but he was pretty adamant about, hey, just sit here and be quiet. You know, no running around, no playing around, like, especially after a loss like that. So what I would do is I would sit in his office, and you still get the stat packs today. If you're in the press box, the media relations department still produces a stat pack today that they basically make available to media and staff. And I would get the stat pack, and I'd sit in his office, and I would just read it. So as all the players were quiet and processing the loss, there I was just basically reading all of the stats for the league on that given day. And the players started to see it more and more. And since we're on the visiting side, recurring players would come in and obviously play against us. And it led to, all of a sudden, I can remember players starting to quiz me, who are the top 10 leaders in batting average, RBIs, and just going through all the different stats. And so that was kind of my probably first 3 to 5 years in the game was a very young age, and just being around players and just continuing to read about all the statistical information that we had at the time.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, you know, taking that experience and everything and going on in Milwaukee, you ever sit there and reflect on what you've done in 14 years in Milwaukee? You were a part of acquiring players such as CeCe Sabathia, Zach Greinke, Carlos Gomez, Josh Hader, who I think, you know, and I can remember the guys like Rich Gossage throwing heat in the pen. Amazing what he's doing down in San Diego. Corey Knebel, John Segura, and Will Smith, among others. I mean, that's an amazing group of sitting back and acquiring there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's you know, I try not to. Yeah, it's always about what you're doing right now and where you're at right now and being present. There are definitely times where I'm very close to a lot of people that really served as mentors to me there in Milwaukee and our old GM in Milwaukee, Doug Melvin, who was my GM there for almost, I think, 11 of the 14 years. He used to say, Roland Heeman, his mentor, would use a line about, you know, storytelling in the game being such a great way to learn things, you know, people learning through someone else's stories. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to some of the mentors I had who were in Milwaukee, we start getting into some of the stories of acquiring those players. And that's probably the extent of which I end up looking back and thinking about some of the moves that we made, then, the good and bad. You know, you kind of relive the good and the bad, but no, very, very proud of what we were able to accomplish there. And I remember going in there, and I got there in 2004, and the Brewers had really, really struggled for quite a while. And I can remember when Doug first was talking about the job, going to Milwaukee and being the GM, and I can remember like it was yesterday. I had the media guide, and I remember him saying, "I think we could win here." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Wait, he wants me to work with him?" and very excited. And that was in, I want to say it was right when he got the job in 2000, after the 2002 season. And so all of a sudden, when we're sitting there in 2008, down to the last game of the season, kind of win or lose, go home or get in the playoffs, I remember thinking it was the culmination of a lot of time, a lot of hard work, years, a lot of tough games. And, you know, so for that franchise to get in the playoffs in 2008, I've told people I could run my own team one day and win a World Series. I don't know if it'll ever be as special as what 2008 meant to me. So it was a great experience, a lot of great people, and very, very lucky.
Well, and not only that, when you look at the National League Central, and I love my Pittsburgh Pirates, but it's a division. It's almost like a blue collar division. Everybody, you know, it's grit, it's drive. It just, not to take anything away from the other divisions, but being a part of that for 14 years, the Cardinals, the Reds. I mean, you got the Cubs in there. It's you know, the travel's pretty much right around the. A 5 mile radius, pun intended, but it's a division where you can really, you know, get to know each other up close.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's some great rivalries. You know, I remember our rivalries with the Cubs, kind of 2007, 2008, and then you could kind of feel that the Pirates were getting better. That kind of young McCutchen time and competing against them, and we played the Cardinals in the 2011 NLCS, but you know, definitely some grit to the division. That's for sure. You know, there's no kind of huge market, maybe the exception of Chicago. So teams have to be really efficient, super competitive, and you know, I joke, you know, Milwaukee, it's Miller Lite. San Francisco, it's Napa Valley. So yeah, definitely a different type of grit in the Midwest. But it was such a great experience. And for me being so young, I started off in the front office very young. I was actually 20, and being able to go to, I think, a smaller market was really good for me. And it was an opportunity, to really see how the entirety of baseball operations works. You know, we weren't overloaded with staff. We weren't overloaded with media, where you had to be careful as far as but I can't go in the dugout or anything like that. So,
right.
So it was a really good experience, and you know, it goes back to something my entire family probably, I think, paramount to our success has just been the people that we've been around and the people
right.
who have taken time for us to help us and to teach us. And more than anything, that Milwaukee experience, the Texas experience, and now for myself, San Francisco, and I'm sure my brothers would say the same thing about where they're at. It just, it comes back to the people that you're with and just really good, good people.
Well, not only that, it's the foundation. You know, your dad laid down and everything and being humble. And, you know, I remember my dad always used to say, son, nobody really cares what you know till they know how much you care. And care is a big word that, you know, you're taking time and giving back, and that's the thing. And going through the Milwaukee days, I mean, I'm a big Bucks fan. I've always liked the Bucks since I was a kid. But any time spent in the off season or anything at a Bucks game or maybe the Packers and – how was it in that environment?
Oh, yeah. I kind of dove into the Milwaukee scene head first, and very, very fortunate. I did the whole Lambeau Drive games there with some of my best friends, people who will be lifelong friends, a lot of Packers games. And, you know, I remember going to so many Bucks games, the media relations department actually gave me a Bucks employee badge. So I can remember working late in the off season, and you know, I was in Milwaukee by myself. I didn't have family there and was pretty
right.
much married to the game. And, but I remember working late a couple of days and just going to the Bucks game at halftime. And, but another instance where I was very fortunate, one of my best friends, his father, lifelong Bucks employee, John Steinmiller, and he was there for over 50 years and oversaw the business side. And Mr. Steinmiller took care of me and his son, and we were able to run around the Bradley Center and get good seats. And it was great. And our GM, Doug Melvin, was a huge Bucks fan, and he had tickets,
yeah.
So he would take different people from baseball operations to games, and we had a really good relationship with the Bucks organization. John Hammond, Jeff Weltman, who are now in Orlando, were running the team, and you know, Doug and I would do a lunch with them every couple of weeks, and so they would always take care of us. So it was a really, really special relationship with the Bucks, and if they're on TV, I'm still watching, rooting for them.
Yeah, and Greek Freak, a great guy to interview. I've had an opportunity to get him a couple times covering the games, but Fear the Deer, and I'll tell you, in the exchange of lunch, was the Armenian food as good as it is on the West Coast in Milwaukee? And you'd probably have to go to Chicago for some good Armenian food, I would imagine, huh? Or maybe there's
yeah,
a surprise in Milwaukee.
I just go to Grandma's house, so I just take the drive to Evanston and go to Grandma's house. So I don't know if she'd be too happy if I was eating someone else's Armenian food anyways, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sundays.
You got to get the authentic from Grandma's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sundays, Grandma's is kind of home base for the entire family, still to this day. So it's probably the one thing about coming out to San Francisco that's been maybe the one downside is just not as close to family. And we're all very close, my brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, you know, so on and so forth. And yeah, Sundays is still a big deal at Grandma's, and she's 96 going strong. She still gets behind the stove and she starts cooking something up, and you get some Lama June or some Monty,
yeah.
It's fantastic. So I do miss
yeah.
it.
Yeah, definitely. I know in L.A. they got one in Glendale that's darn good, too, at Rafi's. So I try to get over there and get some when I'm in that area. But you're the godson to the late Tommy Lasorda and Joe, and legend in Los Angeles. I'll tell you, when Tommy took over the Dodgers, nothing against Walter Alston and running and everything, but, boy, Tommy just infused a personality and a drive that's probably second to none. That had to be something. I never got a chance to interview him, but, man, oh, man, being the godson, that had to be something.
Yeah, it's he has a presence. He had a presence to him that is just unlike anyone I've been around. And he could just really pull you in and just such a dynamic personality where he's very, very extremely intelligent, but very funny. Just so many amazing qualities about him. And one of the more surreal points in my life was we were playing the Dodgers in 2018, Brewers-Dodgers in the NLCS, and I'm sitting in the scout seats, kind of just sitting there thinking about the game before it even starts. And as they finished announcing the Dodgers lineup, they play Uncle Tom, and it's just a recording. They play Uncle Tom over the loudspeaker. And I'm sitting there waiting, just sitting there that you know, dying to win this game and waiting for it to start. And I kind of hear him, and it's one of his motivational speeches that he's given in the past. And I'm thinking, man, there's no one else in this ballpark who is quite having the experience I'm having right now. And it was very surreal. And one of the funniest things about it was, and you know, his speech was probably 45 seconds long, old speech.
Yeah.
Sitting in the scout section, you know, it gets done. He's done. They're done playing the speech, and one of our scouts taps me on the shoulder and he says, "I think I've heard something like that before." You know, referring to me talking to the scouting department and guess, I guess giving a speech. So I took it as a very nice compliment, but yeah, those are they're huge shoes, to fill. But yeah, it was always an experience just to be around him and the stories
yeah.
that he would share and how competitive he was. And I find it funny that now I'm with the Giants. And my first year here, I went and saw him during spring training, and he was yelling at me in the Dodgers clubhouse, "Benedict Arnold is here." So, so he had to get used to me being in the black and orange. But I think he both competitive. I'm sure he would appreciate just how bad I want to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, you're going on your fourth season in San Francisco with the Giants. Do you weigh the options here? You're in 14 years in Milwaukee. Do you say to yourself, should I take the opportunity? But then I think in life, in order to move up, you got to move on. So you leave where you are to take an opportunity and better yourself. Going from Milwaukee to San Francisco, how tough was that, or was it a no-brainer in more ways than one?
No, it was tough. We you know, we had a regime change in Milwaukee, and David Stearns came in, and I was able to work with him for three seasons there, and just have so much respect for him and how he does it and who he is and how open and honest he was with me, and I could kind of feel over the time kind of the relationship evolving where I consider him a friend. And just very, very fortunate. And so as that kind of began to grow and I felt to get more comfortable with him, it made this opportunity, you know, one I had to think about. It wasn't a no-brainer. But I think at that point in my life, I was a single guy and had been in Milwaukee right. for a little while and was a little excited about a change of scenery. And the other big factor here was an opportunity to work for Farhan Zaidi, who just has a fantastic reputation in the game and just looks at the game in such an interesting way. I felt like it was going to be an amazing opportunity for me to continue to learn and hopefully take my knowledge to another level. And I can remember when Farhan called and asked for permission, I looked at some of our internal rankings of the Giants, and I was with Milwaukee. And from a talent perspective, I think we had the Giants 30th in their minor league system and 29th with their major league team in terms of talent. And once I saw that, it was almost like, oh, I have to go now. So I tend to try and look for the biggest challenge and see if I can knock it down. And when I saw that, it was a chance to live in San Francisco, work for and with Farhan, and try and rebuild such a historic franchise. So, we're still working. We've had some good things happen here since 2019, but I think we all expect a lot from ourselves, set a very high standard, and, want to see this be an organization that's in the playoffs each and every year.
Well, not only that, he's pulling a little bit of Los Angeles little by little, except pulling that Hollywood sign up NoCal. You got Jock Peterson there. You got Ross Stripling. You got Gabe Kapler. So little by little, he's starting to pull some of these Southern California guys up north. Any thoughts of that?
Yeah. And I think it speaks to Farhan's belief in people. And Gabe and Jock and Strip, I think all three of them are just fantastic people. And, we talk about character and makeup and team chemistry and things of that nature. And Gabe being the manager definitely leads the culture. But not only having their ability on the field, having them in our clubhouse is just such a huge advantage, having those types of people to bring together a team. So we have a fantasy football league in the office, and Jock was in it. You don't see many players get in the front office fantasy football league. So it just kind of speaks to who Jock is. But it's been awesome. I think just seeing our group has kind of been a mishmash of people from different organizations, and we've all been able to kind of bring in different people that we know. There's people here in our scouting department that I originally hired in Milwaukee, staff, players, so on and so forth. So that's been really, really interesting to kind of be able to pick some of our favorites and bring them here and try and build a staff and build a team.
Yeah, New Jock City. Let me ask you, we're about 7 minutes and change left in this. Any preference in the Super Bowl? I'm picking the Eagles. I think the Eagles win this thing 35-17, probably because of the point I do a show out of Philly, so I got to be a little biased on that point.
Well, if that's the case, I'm for the Eagles. I tell people this all the time. I refuse to put any emotion into any other sports franchise. We do this and we kind of kill ourselves over it. And look, it's impossible for me not to have some emotion when watching my brother's teams, which is very difficult to just be on the sideline and just watch and not have anything to do with it. So when it comes to other sports, I'm a huge basketball fan, huge football fan. I'm one of those guys who's sitting there saying, I just hope it's a good game, or I'll usually root for whoever's losing at halftime and for them to make a comeback and try and root for the underdog. No preference.
Well, not only that, you're in a city where the Warriors and basketball has changed over the years. We can all remember the Lakers heyday, the Bulls, and the Pistons and some of these teams. When you look at the Warriors today, I mean, could you compare them in with the Showtime Lakers and some of those teams? Because to me, I still think the best team I thought I ever saw was that 86 Celtic team. I think they only lost one game on their home floor in that front, court of Parrish, McHale, and Bird is, I think, second to none. But the Warriors have kind of transpired and done their own kind of dynasty of late.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing, and it's been interesting to see them, for them having Thompson, Green, Curry, the veteran players who are stars and huge stars, Curry, mega superstar, but to still be able to bring in talent like Jordan Poole, I think – I like looking at these other franchises and kind of seeing what they do to have the success they have or how do they sustain it. And especially in basketball, when you have those really quality teams and you're picking so late in the draft, how do you continue to get that type of talent? You know, and then that's something that we deal with in baseball as they try to create, Major League Baseball tries to create more parity. You know, how do we create this situation environment where, you know, that pipeline of developing players is still very strong despite having a quality Major League team? So looking at the Warriors, it's one thing that stands out to me being here and kind of hearing about the team on a daily basis is some of the youth that they've been able to bring along during this dynasty run too.
Yeah, and you know, talking about baseball, I can't help but think what a holiday with the Manassian family's like. I mean, your brother's probably showcasing the Braves and Angel gear. You're coming in with the Brewers and Giants gear. Everybody has a chance to dress up, and it must look like a real Mardi Gras there. Any thoughts
of
that?
Yeah, it's almost a little bit of a competition on who can get the kids to root for who. So between Perry's girls and his son and my brother Rudy's kids and my brother Calvin has an infant son now, so it's almost what side can we get the kids on? So I've got my goddaughter Perry's youngest daughter. She's on my side. So if the Giants are playing the Angels, she's rooting for the Giants. So that's good enough for me. But we have fun with it, you know, and you know, for Perry and I being on the player personnel side, there's kind of a little unspoken misunderstanding of there's probably only a certain place that we can take those conversations. So we're a little careful with each other. Probably, you know, people around us can sense the angles we're each trying to play. But when it comes to, you know, the philosophical side of the game, you know, we can talk a lot, but probably for me, something that helps is, you know, I think people, look, we're all very passionate about what we do. And sometimes being passionate, you know, you can get frustrated.
Yeah.
And you know, the game's tough. It'll beat you down. And something I think about daily, you know, I have two brothers who work in the same industry. You know, my father worked in this industry. My mom lived it. My oldest brother, Rudy, lived it. And so for me to turn to any of them with, this is going on and it's frustrating, or whether it's the team's play or it's anything, you know, they're always there and they always have a great understanding and can provide a really helpful perspective. So it's something I get where, you know, other families, you know, you're a lawyer. You may not be anyone in your family that was a lawyer. You know, and trying to explain those things, it kind of can go over their head. So that's been nice, and it's some of the stuff that we end up talking about when we're together. But I joke with people. I think the holidays when we were kids were much more exciting. Football games in the snow in Chicago, and me getting tackled on the cement driveway pretty much every year, and stuff like that. Basketball games. Getting pushed into the rose bush. So those are all things that I got to experience as the youngest, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, when you think of the Armenians, you can think about the Kakorians that own the MGM. You can think about the Kardashians for what they do, but nobody tops the Manassian boys across the board. And as I wind this down in the last 30 seconds, my friend, the great things I like about baseball that they've implemented is not only the interleague, but everybody playing everybody, so you'll get a chance to beat your brother. Your brother will get a chance to get you. I know I told your brother, and when I interviewed him, I said, I can't wait for my Pirates to come into Anaheim and smoke you after the All-Star break. So
yeah,
we all love each other, but when we're playing each other, it's a whole different ballgame.
Definitely. So people ask me, is it tough to go against your brother? No, that's what I'm used to. The tough thing is rooting for him. So it's easy when I'm facing one of them to want to win the games. I'm looking forward to the new scheduling. It'll be fun to get around and get to face all the teams.
Yeah, and your mom's probably sitting there thinking, you know, the best ideal World Series will be the Angels and the Giants.
we would all take that right now. We'd be happy with that.
Okay, my friend, I know you're getting ready to go to spring training next week. I'm going to contact you the following week. We'll set up another podcast. We got to do this during the season, man. This will be great with the Giants and you.
That would be great.
Unbelievable. I appreciate your time. And let everybody know how they can get a hold of you if they're anywhere in the San Francisco area. Don't ask him for tickets, guys.
Yeah, it's just an easy email address. First initial, last name. So if you can spell my last name, then I'll read the email, no problem. So first initial, last name, and SF Giants, and hopefully we can make Giants fans proud this year.
Definitely. The orange and black. Have a blessed weekend, my friend. Thanks for this, and we'll definitely keep in touch here. For Zach Manassian, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Go Giants. Have a blessed weekend.
Thanks, Mark.